This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. I trust we're going to have a good time as we study the Word of God together. We've been doing studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3, and today we want to speak about the experience and the evidence of Pentecost. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and this is what it says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to say to you this morning, the experience of Pentecost is indicated by the words. They were all filled. You got that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The evidence of Pentecost is indicated by the words, and began. They began to speak. The experience came to the 120. We're in the upper room. A wonderful and a transforming experience, which since that day has come to multitudes of God's people. But we read not only of the experience of Pentecost, but also the evidence of Pentecost. When? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began. Whenever God fills the heart, life, and personality of any one of His children with the Holy Spirit, there will always be the evidence, and the evidence here is indicated by the fact that those who were filled began. We shall see the historical event over 2,000 more years ago may and must be a personal experience in our own individual lives. In 1902, when the Welsh Revival was taking place in the Rhondda Valley in Wales, people went to look at where the revival was taking place. And the lady, when she got there to the Rhondda Valley where the revival was taking place, walked up to a Welsh policeman and said to the policeman, "Sir, can you point me in the direction as to where the revival is taking place?" The policeman pushed out his chest and he says, "Madam, they're taking place underneath these buttons. Because you see, the revival needs to take place in your life and my life by the power of the Holy Spirit." Number one, the experience of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4 says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so these verses contain the record of what actually happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had promised the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell and infill His people. We need to be clear about that. He had told them, because we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." There we have it clearly and distinctly. And as we see this in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, to His command to the 120 of His first followers, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. And we see there in Acts 1 verse 12 to 14, this is what it says. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they'd entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Then suddenly he came. He came. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But was this wondrous gift and blessing only for those first disciples? And I want to say this morning, emphatically, no. Number one, the experience of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is just as real an experience for us today as it was for those disciples. The Spirit-filled life is a command. In Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writes to us, "Do not become drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but ever go on being filled with the Holy Spirit." It's written in the continuous present tense, ever go on being filled. It is meant to be the normal experience of God's people. It is a definite, real experience. One knew whether or not one had entered that experience. They knew the Holy Spirit had come upon them. The Holy Spirit filled them. The Holy Spirit came into their lives to make Jesus real in their lives and in their experience. You see, my friends, the moment you and I are born again, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and the Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us it places us into, we're baptized into the body of Christ. That redeemed people all around the world, we are placed into the body of Christ. And you see, my friends, and then the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives and makes Jesus real in my life and in my experience. Secondly, the experience of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is for every Christian everywhere. Notice the significance of a little word, all, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. No one was excluded. Some of those present that day are mentioned. They are mentioned. And we read here in Acts 1 verse 13 and 14. There they were. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with these brothers. And so they were all present. Do you get that? They were all present that day. There were all kinds of people that day who were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is God's provision for every one of his children in order to make vital Christian living and effective Christian service possible. There is the purpose. You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. We've accepted Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes into my life to make Jesus Christ real. We know he's real because he lives within us. But he gives us a new impetus for living. God never calls us to be his children and then says, "You come, thank you for coming, but now go and work it out for yourself." It's not working it out by yourself. It's the power within you. He places a dynamo, a power inside of us. That's the purpose. Number three, the experience of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, frequently comes subsequently to conversion. Not everybody, it happens immediately. We are not basing the statement upon the experience of those first disciples because they lived through a period of transition. There was before Calvary. There's after Calvary. There's before the ascension, after the ascension. There's before Pentecost. And also, my friends, there is after Pentecost. But you see, my friends, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the importance of it. The Holy Spirit had come into their lives at conversion. The Holy Spirit had come to make Jesus real. How does Jesus come into my life? He comes into my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus comes into my life. And then he comes with his power, and he comes to give us the power to live for him day by day. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit comes into your life. The Holy Spirit seals you with the Holy Spirit. We do not necessarily know this, but we enter into God's plan and purpose, for we know what it is to when we first come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit. How does Jesus come in? He comes in by the Holy Spirit. To put it another way, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Romans 8:9 says, no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit inside, you can say Jesus is Lord. But not every Christian is filled, possessed by the Holy Spirit. Number four, the experience of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is an experience greater than that of conversion. Life abundant is more than life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance, in overflow, the fullness of joy, the greater joy. That's what he's saying to us. You know, we get a power to serve him, the power to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we turn again to the Word, and the Word has the answer for us. And we turn here to John chapter 15. And this is what it tells me in John chapter 15. It says this very clearly to us. John 15 and verse 11 says this, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, you get filled with joy, coming to know Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It brings joy, greater power for service. It is greater than the different from the power to enter God's family. Yes. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and the daughters of God, to as many as believed on his name. Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Undoubtedly, the greatest day in Peter's life was the day of Pentecost, and there are many who can say the same today. You know, 1 Peter 1 verse 8 tells us, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. The experience of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is a radical experience. To be filled with the Holy Spirit implies being emptied of every unholy spirit, of everything else that is unlike the Lord Jesus and that is displeasing to him. It is only when we are willing to be emptied of self, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will fill us. You see, what I give to Christ, he cleanses. What he cleanses, he fills. And what he fills, he uses. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, I want to say to you this morning, the evidence of Pentecost, when these disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, we read, they began. There was immediate evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in their lives. Consider the following questions that arise in this connection. Number one, what did they begin? In the narrative we read, they began to speak in tongues. This did happen, but it was not an essential thing. They began to speak. They began to speak. They had a boldness to speak. The essential thing is they began to be vital, effective people. They began to live and work for Christ. They began to speak for Christ. They began to suffer for Christ. That would happen to them. How mightily they were transformed when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. After Pentecost, they were completely different people from the ones they had been before Pentecost. And you and I, when we come to Christ and we comes in by His Spirit and He fills us with His Holy Spirit, we can become completely different than what we were before. There's a new dynamo, a new dynamic in our lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, when did they begin? The answer is when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, not before. Here we see the cause of much of our ineffective service. How often we go forth to serve the Lord and we go in our own strength. You know what? Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. These first followers began to witness to the Lord after the day of Pentecost because they knew what Luke 24:49 says. You tarry here, wait here. You shall be endued with power from on high. You'll be clothed with power that comes from on high. We are only ready to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord when the Holy Spirit fills my life and makes Jesus more and more in my life. Number three, where did they begin? In Jerusalem. When God fills us with His Spirit, it is in order that we may first of all be effective witnesses among our own people. We start in Jerusalem and then we go to the uttermost parts of the earth. An experience of Pentecost should give us a burden for the salvation of our loved ones, our friends, the colleagues we work with, because they are lost without Jesus. People are lost until the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus shines into their hearts. Their hearts are darkened. There's darkness within them because they haven't had the light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus comes, and the light of the world shines into the darkness of their heart, and they realize they need Jesus, the light of the world. We are only ready to live for the Lord and serve the Lord when we're filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit. I want to do more for Jesus because of His great love for me, but I need to be equipped with the power of His Spirit. And then, where did they begin? In Jerusalem. I said that to you already. Where did they begin? When God fills us with His Spirit, it's in order that we may first of all be effective witnesses amongst our own people. And an experience of Pentecost should give us a burden for the salvation of loved ones, of friends, of work colleagues. That's what it'll give us, a desire. The Holy Spirit, I've got to speak to these people. I've got to witness. I've got to tell them about the light that shone into the darkness of my heart. And when the light dispelled the darkness, I came to a realization of my need for Jesus. You see, spirit-filled witnesses begin to honor the Lord by living and working for Him amongst His people. We work amongst people. And we let our light shine, then the light of the gospel will shine into their hearts and they come to the realization that until the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus shines into their life, they have not experienced Jesus at all. There's only darkness, darkness. You know, the world was in darkness when Jesus came, but Jesus came and He shone the light because He says, I am the light of the world. Why did they begin? Because they could not help doing so. They couldn't help doing so. They were empowered. They were motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. They were motivated. Now they possessed them. They could do no otherwise. They couldn't do anything else. And that's what Acts tells us. Let me read it to you this morning as we come to a close. Here in Acts chapter 4, we read these tremendous words. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, it tells me this. Acts 4 and verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot. If we've encountered Jesus, we cannot do anything else but speak of the things we have seen and heard. And we turn over the page to chapter 5 and verse 42. And it tells us in 5:42, it says this, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Do you see that? They didn't stop preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ. How did they begin? This is a very real sense in which they did not begin at all. It was the Lord from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit who began doing his gracious and glorious work in their hearts and in their lives. We turn to Mark's Gospel, the last chapter, chapter 16 of Mark's Gospel, and I read there verses 19 and 20. "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." You see, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out to tell other people about Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, are you filled with the Spirit? And remember, as we minister to people, we're giving out of ourselves. And many times when we're giving out all the time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, "Lord, I leak so often. I leak so often in giving out." You see, we need to be filled again. That's why the encouragement comes from Ephesians 5:18. "Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but ever go on being filled." Continuous present tense. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit for today is not sufficient for tomorrow. Tomorrow is not sufficient for the next day. We need to understand that. We need to be filled afresh every day with the Holy Spirit of God to come into our lives, to use us to touch our world with the love of Jesus, to use us to tell people that they are loved by God, that they're special people. Don't condemn people. Don't judge people. Love people. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And when we start to love people and we start to shine the glorious gospel of Jesus into their dark hearts, like ours were when we didn't know Jesus, the light of the gospel shines within and Christ dispels the darkness, and they see their great need of a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else. And they say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life." How does he come in? By the power of the Spirit. And then he fills us with his Spirit. He empowers us with his Spirit to go out and be witnesses and to tell people and live for Jesus day by day. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit within. I pray I've helped you in some way today in this study, that you will sense our great need on the Holy Spirit. We are, how do we know that we are Christians? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they the sons and the daughters of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you in all things today and in this coming week. Show me, Lord, who I must speak to. Show me, Lord, somebody that needs the Savior. Show me, point me in the right direction to go. And I tell you, he'll do it for you in your life, because he loves you and you have got Jesus within you, the light of the world, to shine into dark places. Let's pray together this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, encouragement to our hearts this morning, that we come to know Jesus. And when we come to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to reside on the inside. And then we filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. We have a new motivation for living for you and telling others about you and witnessing and living for Jesus day by day. And the joy of the Lord is our strength because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when we go through trials and difficulties and dark times, we as Christians can still rejoice because the joy of the Lord, because he lives within us. He's the light of the world, and he wants to shine out of us into dark places, because where the light shines, it expels the darkness. Lord Jesus, help us today as we love you and we live for you and we share you with others. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh this morning because we need you to lead us and to guide us today. We thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you and love you this morning. If you need further help, please don't hesitate to phone 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744, Radio Cape Pulpit. They'll get someone to help you. You can contact me, Pastor Brian, from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 and 12 noon on 021-552-4096, 021-552-4096. God love you and be with you today. I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.